was basically at the mercy of other human beings that, in essentially my mind, were about to open up a can that would effectively destroy me.
Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Welcome to There Is Hope Radio. This is your radio host, Richard Dover, and I am doing another interview with my son, Joshua. I want to share this story. I think it's critical to share this story. Is they're dealing with all kinds of pain with you. You're at level 10 pain. I mean, you were absolutely frightful whenever you'd have to get an x-ray or MRI or whatever, right? Because of you knew that was going to be a whole nother level of pain.
Oh yeah. They make your body go into certain positions for x-rays, and if my body is not just laying in one position in bed throughout this whole journey, my pain increases. And if you start twisting things to get certain images, you're not just, I'm not just dealing with pain, but you're essentially feel like you're torturing me.
You're torturing me, and then the anxiety that comes, knowing
that that's coming. Wheeling
that
down
coming.
The hall to an x-ray room, I would already start feeling physical pain because I knew the pain was coming.
Right. And we want to emphasize that it's not just physical. It's all the emotional torment that's going on. I mean, I'm sure that you, I don't even like to think about it. You're my son. I don't want to think about the physical pain. But, you know, there's the mental torment, the emotional torment, all that's going on because all that's happening. And so I want to talk about some of the emotional, I don't know what the right word would be. I'm calling it emotional torment. But there was an experience where you had in your room, if I remember right, there was four or five doctors, there's some nurses, and there's a big argument going on. Can you describe that event? I want people to hear this and know that, again, he didn't have, when his mother in Oregon there, that there with him, when she found out she wasn't in the room, when I told her, she immediately went to the hospital. She was hot as can be. And this is another example of where it's so critical to have somebody that's a mediator. And with the whole COVID stuff and them limiting family members being there, everything else, I can't even imagine the torment that people have gone through. I say that Josh is one who's experienced this, so he goes beyond not being able to imagine the torment some people go through without an advocate. But explain what happened in your room and how you had almost an emotional breakdown with it.
Yeah, so you need a little precursor to that. So I had just gotten through surgery that day, my final surgery. That's where they excised all the flesh on my stomach, the burned flesh. And when I got out of surgery at about 6:37 a.m., my pain skyrocketed, and I was in the post-op surgery department from about 6:37 o'clock in the morning till about 10:30 at night, because they could not get my pain to drop down. And they finally gave me the drug that worked. It wasn't working, and they finally gave me a thing where I could take it by push a button every so many minutes. And slowly, we were able to get me down enough to go to my room. Well, unfortunately, when I fell asleep, my oxygen sats dropped to around 61, which is very dangerous. And the doctors came into my room, about four or five of them, and there was three nurses in there. And they started arguing about the doctors wanted to give me Narcan, which is a drug that reverses any pain medication that's in your body. And the doctors were arguing that it was the pain meds dropped me that low. The nurses were arguing that they could not do that with somebody that was still cognizant. It was against protocol. I started emotionally having a breakdown because of the fact that the doctors were essentially arguing to give me a drug that would reverse any pain relief, and I'd already been in level 10 pain on copious amounts of drugs, and I could not imagine what kind of pain I would be in when they reversed all of that. So I literally broke down, and thankfully the nurses won out after about 15-20 minutes of straight up venom and earthquake.
And I want to say this is right in front of Josh. I mean,
I had a nurse standing next to me rubbing my knee trying to comfort me. And the doctors and them were all standing around my bed in the area doing this argument. And later I had a doctor come in and apologize for arguing in front of me, causing me such fear and anxiety, because it's, you know, that's a tough thing to already deal with, but then let alone to have them sitting there arguing about something that's going to, you know, potentially cause me extreme pain. Even if it was the right thing to do and they would have done it, you know, arguing in front of a patient is not going to help the patient.
Right,
but,
right.
And yeah, it was, there was nobody there to support me other than, thankfully, the nurses were there to advocate
how could
for
you
me
support
at that time.
Yourself at that point?
Oh, at that point, there's nothing. I can't get out of bed. I can't walk. I can't get out of bed alone. I can't do any of that, so I can't just walk out.
It's not like you could argue with them either.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't put a drug in me that I've been getting, what am I? I'm going to get my own drug. It's nothing happening.
Right.
If, you know, maybe if they wanted to give me a drug, I'd, you know, yank all my IVs, but that's only temporary. They'd sedate you or, you know, strap you down, whatever. So I was basically at the mercy of other human beings that, in essentially my mind, were about to open up a can that would effectively destroy me.
And so, again, this is where it's critical. If you have a loved one, if you ever have a loved one that is in some kind of emergency situation, you've got it. I could tell you all kinds of stories from different people I've dealt with who have had emergency room situations where you have to have an advocate that is there. Now, the good news is God is your advocate. Jesus Christ is your advocate. And the reality, your family, I'll tell you, almost all of them are absolutely convinced that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't not only not be here, that you'd be in a lot worse shape, that they would have made mistakes. We have many times prayed for you just before there was a surgery, and then all of us, we always would pray. This is everybody's prayer. God, give the doctors wisdom, and if they start to do something they shouldn't do, change direction. And I can't tell you how many different times we'd hear that you're going to surgery for this, but then they decide to do surgery for that instead, that there'd be different protocols they would change. It's just so many different stories that I could tell. And I had to look back all the texting back and forth and between everybody in the family about different scenarios where there had not been an intervention by God's Spirit doing something. I don't know where you had been. And again, I think you probably saw some of that even in the midst of not even knowing what all was happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot that I don't know. I have heard, you know, a fair amount, but there's still tons I don't know. I do know that for a fact that I was slated for surgeries several times, countless times, that for whatever reason they pulled out and decided to go, you know, wait a little bit or, you know, see what changes to the body or anything like that, and then they would change up their plan. Sometimes it was canceled for whatever reason and a new surgeon was used instead, and you know, for whatever reason, there was countless times of surgeries that were going to happen and be that never came to be, or they've changed the type of surgery or something like that.
Change the order, you know, instead of
so many issues, what do we fix first?
Try to do the back, and then there was all those things. And then, but here's the good news, and I want to end with this. The good news is every surgery you had, it was a good report right after the surgery.
Yeah, not pain, but yeah, as far as the actual thing repaired, going
right.
smooth,
right.
going perfect. Even my stomach, they thought that I was going to have to get a ton of skin grafts because they didn't believe there was any possible way to attach 4 inches of flesh is huge. And they did not think that there was any way possible to attach the skin without skin grafts, without the skin tearing from being so tight. And that was the first thing I was shocked by when I came to, was I did not have any skin grafts whatsoever. And even later when they pulled out the stitches, the people were talking about, they'd never seen anything so tight and never seen knots done that way to even be able to hold skin that's tight.
I was shocked when they were going to fill up that 4-inch gap, and they're saying they're just going to sew it up. I actually said, "Yeah, right." I don't remember who told me. You told me. Your mom told me. But I said they got this story wrong. So God, I don't know what the story is, but I'm praying whatever the real story is, the real surgery, you do an amazing, miraculous job, because what they're saying they're doing, there's just no way possible that this is going to work. And then you show me pictures afterwards, and I'm looking in total awe and shock. And even in the healing that took place, we'll be talking about the stomach surgery, how quickly it healed. And there's a story in that. We'll have to get to that another time. Just a little story that when the nurses had a comment about when they were pulling stitches out. And so we need to do one show that's just on the different, what we would call miracles, or whether they're miracles or just amazing. I don't care what you want to call it, but we believe it was God working and intervening. And on behalf of Josh, from the moment, as we shared in one of our previous interviews, the moment he hit the ground and to now, it's just been had the favor of God in his life. And we need to do another show, Josh. We're going to kind of set people up as we end here. We're going to do another show. We need to do another show about, again, your whole attitude to everything that's going on. You're getting your life in order, and then this accident happens. We talked a little bit about that, but we got to talk more about that. We got to talk about the thing that makes me very sad, and I don't say a whole lot about it because I don't want to make you sad. But you don't know your future.
No, I don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue.
The even fact that I have a future is a shock to me.
Yeah, I mean, and then you've been told that to walk normal, maybe 6 months to a year before you can walk normal. Boy, I'm gonna end on this note, Josh, and this is where we have to pray again, is because you love hiking, you love the outdoors, you love hunting, you love all that stuff, and you don't know what that looks like in the next 6 months to a year.
It may be something that I have to give up.
You
never know.
And you can say that and not be absolutely devastated?
I can say that and it hurts and it's hard to stomach, but my whole reality has changed. And, part of that reality is learning that I have to accept some things. And like never riding a motorcycle again is something that I, just saying it is like a sting, but...
And you could ride a motorcycle again. You're not afraid to ride a motorcycle again.
I'm not. I have no fear whatsoever.
Right. Which is a God thing, too. That's amazing that you would not have that fear. That's a God thing, too. But
I love it too much.
Everybody else that would like you to not ride a motorcycle, and I think you're just saying, probably wisdom is, I don't want to go through this again.
Well, you only get, not many do, but you only get one redo or do-over. And I've already proven that I have almost 9 lives. Everything that's happened since the accident, but not willing to risk it to that point anymore, just because of what I'm going through and
you don't have to.
Yeah. And, I mean, believe me, everything within me feels as though I need to be back on a bike, because that was part of who I was and how I
got. Of course, it was. You know, it's all
greatness.
My fault. It's all my fault. You've seen that picture of you on the motorcycle when you were what? A year and a half,
about
2 years
old,
whatever
it was. Like that. it was inbred.
It's all Dad's fault, because I put that helmet on him and put the big long gloves on him, and he sat in that motorcycle all by himself, ready to ride a motorcycle at 1.5 years old. So I guess I have to assume responsibility for it at this point in time. And I mean, you need to do another show, because we talked about, prior to this accident stuff, in one of our shows we talked about, you're dealing with depression and all that stuff. And I just thought about this today. I thought it's ironic, is think about the things that you were depressed about, the other stuff that you're going through, and compared to what you could be facing now, it's kind of crazy.
Oh,
you realize that? Have you ever thought about that?
There's stuff that I was dealing with back before the accident that is so minuscule in comparison to some of the stuff
isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, especially when some
that?
Of the thoughts I had dealing with some of the stuff I was dealing with, not wanting to be here, or wishing a bus would hit me or something, and just thinking about some of the stuff that bothered me is so trivial compared to some of the stuff I deal with now. And back then, it didn't seem trivial at all, and there's nothing
and
you could convince me that it wasn't
trivial.
A mountain.
In your mind, it wasn't trivial at the time, and so
no, it was a mountain. It was an unscalable mountain.
Yeah, and so that I think maybe we'll try that show the next time. We'll do that show if you're up to it, and just talk about some of that, because I've gone through my own depression, suicidal thoughts, and all that years ago. And I look back. I mean, I don't know how many people know this. People have gone through it, and I think this is critical, because there's maybe somebody that's listening about taking their life or very hopeless and feel like there's no thing. I mean, Josh and I both have gone through it in our own personal journeys. And we look back and I don't know, like for myself, I just scratch my head and say, huh? Really? I've gone through hell and back compared to that. But it's what you feel at the moment. I mean, you can't lessen what you're going through at the moment. You can't lessen that darkness that you're going through at the moment. But the hope is you get to the other side. When you get to the other side, you look at it and say, I can't even believe that, and that's why you got to stick it out. That's why you need to listen to those people that love you, that are encouraging you to stick it out. And so we really need to do a show just on that, and really do some looking at the difference in perspective, because that's what it's about. It's about how we see life, how we see things. And again, Josh has had what you would call, I think you'd call it an encounter with God, or an encounter with, I don't know, what would you call it, Josh?
Encounter of the third kind. No, yeah, encounter with God would be one, and a kind of a stark reality check of what's really important in life.
And a kind of a spiritual awakening, I think, would be part of it too. So
yeah.
Well, thank you, Josh, for the interview. Appreciate it. I know you got to get to your sleep study soon.
Yep. One more thing to go.
One more thing to go.
That's
another story also, because you have to, probably we can talk about all this stuff, but Joshua also had other ailments, health issues before this accident ever happened, and then you take the accident and those health issues and made it challenging, and so he's had to go through hell and back maybe a couple of times already, so we'll cover more. Hopefully,
if you need a guide, I'm here.
yeah, exactly. Well, I'm happy. Needless to say, about Josh getting another chance in life, and really excited about to see. I'm excited. From the day of his accident, I actually been excited, because I just believe there's something more in his life and more that's going to take place, and he's going to be able to help others, and we're hoping these podcasts help others. So, again, Josh, thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks.
All righty. Just want to remind individuals, you're listening to There Is Hope Radio. There is hope for anybody and everybody, know what they've gone through. I know there's hope. Josh has gone through his own thing many times, and yet he's still alive today. And for you that is listening right now, there is hope. What I wanted to end with is to let you know that the hope is through Jesus Christ. Our show is called There Is Hope, that through Jesus Christ we can have hope, that he will give us the strength when we have no strength. God is on our side. That he's for you, he's not against you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter whatever dot life you've had, no matter what actions you've ever taken in life, that there's a God that loves you, that cares for you. I believe that's part of Joshua's story also through this whole motorcycle crash. I want us to end the show to let you know there is hope. If you need someone to talk to, I want you to know that we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call a phone number, it's a toll-free number. It's 1-866 Want God. Real easy to remember. 1-866-WANTGOD. 1-866 Want God. You can call 24 hours a day at any point in time. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll do anything that we can to be of help to you, to help you to be able to make it through whatever you're going through.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.